How's it going, everyone? This is Pat Loika, and you're listening to Loikamania episode 14. This is the post San Diego Comic Con hangover episode. Today I'm joined by my buddy Chris Mays. Say hi, Chris.
Oh, hi.
And then I am joined by two writers who were covering the event, Mr. Albert Ching from Newsarama.
Hello.
And Ernie Estrella from BuzzFocus.com.
Hello, hello. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good, man. How are you guys recovering from the show?
Doing well.
I still got a cough, I think, that I developed there.
Oh, man.
did anyone catch the con SARS, as they used to call it?
Yeah, I think I did. No amount of hand sanitizer was enough to ward off the looming threat.
I think I escaped out of there germ-free. I tried to shake as little hands as possible.
I only have a bit of a sore throat now, but I don't know if that's related.
I completely forgot the hand sanitizer this year, which was something I always advocated in this show and in other podcasts for people to bring. But for some reason, I didn't do it this year. I feel like an idiot. And I think I might have caught some of that.
I had some in my bag, Pat, and I just totally forgot about it.
So you caught the nerd flu.
Oh, I know, man. But you know, it's a small price to pay, really, considering all the fun we had that over those few days. So I have both of you guys here, Albert and Ernie, for a specific reason, and it's because both of you covered the show from a more of a journalistic side, really, and it's not really a point of view we get all the time, because you see a lot of reports, and you know, you guys write those reports most of the time, and you talk about, you know, what's going on in the panels or in the press junkets you go to. But I wanted to see how it was for you guys, you know, running around from panel to panel, from Hall H to Ballroom 20 or whatever room you need to be in. So, you know, we all know how well organized the show is. How did that work out for you guys?
Well, first off, I just realized how funny Albert and Ernie sounds.
Most definitely. As far as most of my days are spent in ice cold press rooms, you know, away from all the crowds and, I walked past the lines and stuff, but I really stayed away from actually entering into Hall H and Ballroom 20, because, you know, we have to stand in line too, and I can't spend those hours waiting in line for the chance of, you know, not getting in, if I have to be somewhere else and right after the panel. So, It was good. You know, it is pretty structured as far as the press stuff goes, but it's a real big traffic jam of stuff like the week before. Most people probably don't know this, but we get solicited all these different events that are going on and all the different panels, and we find out what the talent is, and we have to figure out what we want to get in on. So we try to get in on those things, and then we find out later whether or not we were approved, quote unquote, to get in. And we don't find this stuff out until maybe a day or two before the con starts. And so it can be pretty crazy, because we're still juggling our schedule before, so we don't really get to prep as well as we'd like to.
And Albert, on your end?
You know, I also didn't spend any time in either Hall H or Ballroom 20, which is, a blessing. I actually haven't been inside Hall H, I think, in 3 years. I haven't covered anything there. Yeah, I mean, I concentrate on, the comic book publishing stuff, which, you know, luckily there's never that bad of lines for any of that or anything like that. So, you know, I didn't get too swept up in the madness, and I wasn't around when the person got stabbed either, which was...
That is probably one of the more infamous things that happened at this show. I mean, I'm thinking it's in the show history, because this is probably the first time someone actually got assaulted over a seat.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, that was actually the one, instance during the whole convention when I wasn't actually at the convention center. I had to leave and go back to the hotel for some reason. And then, I checked my email as I was walking back, and I got one from one of my editors, and it was like, can anyone look into the stabbing that happened? And at first I was like, holy crap, you know, I thought I was like... I mean, I'm sure what happened was bad, but, you know, when you hear stabbing, you think, like, worse than with a pen, I guess. But not that a pen can't be bad, obviously, but I was just like, wow, this freaked me out for a second. It is freaky.
Yeah, it is. And if you think, over 40 years, this is a pretty well-controlled event. No incidents like that had ever happened there before. Now, you mentioned, you mentioned that you had to, like, Ernie, you mentioned how you receive you get invited, and then you have to basically accept an invitation by a certain time to get in, or, like,
What you're pretty much given is, you're kind of given, kind of a press release and say, hey, you know, we're coming to the con. This is where we'll be. This is who we're bringing. Let us know if you're interested. And you send your request in, and then it's like a lottery. You kind of figure out, you find out a day or two, or sometimes a week later, whether or not you got in. And on some stuff that's really hot, let's say like Marvel with the Thor stuff, you either found out or you didn't find out. And if you didn't find out, that means you didn't get in. They didn't even send a response.
That's kind
of lame. So, you know, there's some of those things where sometimes you get a feel for who is organized and who isn't organized. Mm-hmm. I had to say, at least my experience with the AMC stuff with The Walking Dead, and as well as the TNT TV shows, even USA, they were really well organized. And those are the ones that I got into. But, some of the other stuff, some of the more bigger things kind of got to, almost an unmanageable kind of situation, because everyone's trying to get into those things. And so it can be really messy when you're trying to get a confirmation as far as whether or not you're getting in. So,
okay. Well, since you guys have spoken to a rather, diverse group of people throughout the show, like, did you have any particular encounters that were memorable as far as when you were covering, any of the stories during that time? Like, were there any, I know, Ernie, you had to do the press junkets for Hall H, for some of them anyway. Like,
yeah, so I'll do a quick rundown of what I did. For Warner Brothers, I did Green Lantern and Sucker Punch press. I also did, for TV shows, The Event, Falling Skies, Hawaii Five-0, White Collar, The Walking Dead, and Priest, the movie. I almost forgot about that.
That movie looked like garbage.
Yeah, it's I'm not too high on that, and it's a far cry from what the original manga was, and obviously it's done by the guy who did Legion, so it's more closer to Legion than it is, anything that resembled the original comic.
You mentioned. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. For the Warner Brothers stuff, that was pretty much a press conference, and we didn't really get to interact much except for a few, it's a press conference kind of environment, so less one-on-one. So we got to see everybody from the panel. We just didn't get to see the footage, and that's usually the downfall of not being able to be in Hall H or Bottom 20.
Well, they leak on the internet anyway, right?
Well, yeah, and to kind of cycle back to that whole stabbing thing, it really kind of puts things in perspective that, like, a lot of people don't realize, when they're going to these things and they find out they can't get inside, it's going to be on the internet in like 15 minutes, if you're patient. And, most of the Q&A questions from fans really are, aren't very good. You're not really getting anything out of it. They're mostly embarrassing, to be honest with you. So I kind of learned, a few years ago, it's not a big deal if you don't get into those things. So,
And so you didn't get much encounters out of the TV and movie people. How about from comic creators? Albert, go ahead, Ernie. Sorry.
Well, I did get pretty good at all the TV stuff. We were able to get, some very good small roundtable discussions where, we're separated into these tables where, there's about 10 to 12 of us, and we get to kind of ask more. We go around the circle and we kind of ask questions. And I'd say with that, there was a lot of really good, fun interactions, especially with the Walking Dead crew. The White Collar TV show is there's definitely a fun vibe that goes on with that cast, and I think some of the sci-fi stuff, like The Event and Falling Skies, they look like some really promising things that I think people are going to probably latch on to, I think, once if they give it a chance. So
you mentioned Walking Dead. This is it's probably one of the bigger things from the con this year.
Most definitely.
Yeah, it's from an indie comic, you know?
Yeah, it's from an indie comic, and I think there's... but I think what's exciting is that the people who are involved in it, Frank Darabont, Gail Ann Hurd, they understand the source material, and they know that they have room to deviate from it, but they still have a basic, you know, the outline and is going to stay true to the comic for the most part. And you can just tell that they really know what makes that comic tick. Mm-hmm. And the actors really were affected by it when they read the source material, because, you know, they wanted to learn more about these parts and these roles. And as they were reading the comic, they're like, wow, this is fantastic. You know, I can't wait to see this thing, you know, live. Yeah. And so I think people are going to be really blown away with how well this is going to be. If you haven't seen the footage online or someplace,
on YouTube somewhere. Actually, you know, funny you mentioned Walking Dead. Chris and I encountered Robert Kirkman like the day before the panel.
Uh-huh.
And we were actually in line for Brian Lee O'Malley's autograph. You know, Scott Pilgrim was big that weekend also.
Right.
We were in line for him, and Kirkman came up to us, which is pretty funny because Kirkman kind of knows me online. And we kind of chatted a bit about the TV show, and it's pretty cool how this guy, you know, he's about the same age as I am, and or he might be actually younger than me from what I'm hearing, and he's so accessible, and you know, which is true for most comic creators anyway, particularly in shows like this, they're very accessible and easy to talk to, and we were just chatting like we've known each other for a while, and I wanted to see what you guys thought. You guys are all big comic comic people also. Did you have any particular encounter with any pros that you absolutely enjoyed this year? Albert?
Yeah, I got to meet a lot of people I hadn't met before. I talked to Kieran Gillen and actually did an interview with him, and yeah, he's super cool. I'd never met him before. A couple other people, Ben McCool, who writes Joker, I met him for the first time, and I had actually interviewed him for the Marvel book he's doing, but I'd never actually met him in person before.
Oh,
he was really cool.
A Marvel book.
Yeah, he's doing a Marvel book called Captain America and the Korvac Saga.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those retellings that they're doing now, like how they have the Spider-Man Secret Wars and Avengers and the Infinity Gauntlet. It's like the next one in that kind of series. And, yeah, I mean, but actually another thing, you know, just speaking of impressions from the Comic-Con, it's kind of funny, is that, you know, sometimes you're so cloistered, at least I am, with just, like, panels and, like, strictly comic book stuff. Like, when we're talking about The Walking Dead, I didn't even know that there was that cool Walking Dead booth AMC thing, like, with a scene recreation. I didn't know about it until, like, days after Comic-Con was over.
God.
I had no idea. And I was like, oh, that sounds really cool. I was like, I had no idea. I would have liked to have seen that. But, yeah, I had no idea.
And the con's just gotten so big that it is kind of difficult to kind of go through everything. And, of course, if you're working at the same time, there's really... And I learned this the hard way. There's really no way for you to see everything you want to see and go and do everything you want to do. I mean, Chris and I, throughout the whole weekend, we've been planning to do things. Like, we want to do this panel and then do this and do that. Then you realize there's something else going on at the same time that you need to be in, and... It got pretty ridiculous, and it got a little frustrating, and then in the end you just learn to accept, okay, well, I can't really do everything. I'm only human.
It's very hard for everything to go according to plan.
Yeah, it's I mean, if you plan really, really well, it's about to fall apart. It's gotten to the point where, you know, I think planning's a bad idea. we ran into a lot of, like, cool, you know, a lot of great comic pros throughout the whole weekend, and talking with all of the major ones. Like, they all actually, all of the bigger guests, like Matt Fraction and Brian Bendis, they had like some great solo panels, which were probably the highlights of the con for me. I mean, as much as I like the media panels and all that stuff, I thought their spotlight panels were some of the best, and the Grant Morrison panel was also great.
What happened to the Mad Fraction one? Because I actually on Sunday I wound up working the booth with Cliff Chang and Jill Thompson at their booth. So I had it on my schedule like you guys. You have a schedule, then you realize it just gets away from you. Yeah. And I didn't get to go to the Mad Fraction one.
Basically, Fraction performed his the Batman Dreams of Hieronymus Machines bit, which is like a 15-20 minute thing that he does. Like he has a projection. He talks about like how he got into comics, how he, you know, it's basically like his life story.
Okay.
And he does that as like the intro to the thing, and it's really funny because he talks about like the really bad comics, and he talks about like the first comic he ever read had Stiltman in it, and then the first comic he ever wrote involved him killing Stiltman. And there's all this other stuff, you know, that came out of it, which is pretty funny. And nice. I think there is video of it online, like the bit that he does anyway, because he does that for Woodstock also.
Okay.
So it's definitely worth checking out. I'll probably link to it when we get done later on.
Nice.
You guys did get to check out the floor for a bit, and what were your favorites? Any booths, any costumes that you saw that you really dig from the whole thing?
I think the guys who dressed up as Daft Punk was really good. Those guys were early on, I think, in the show. I guess I didn't see too many female costumes that and I saw a lot of Wonder Woman, but.
I've seen some people attempt the new Wonder Woman look. And
yeah, the new Wonder Woman look, right? Yeah.
I haven't seen any of that.
It's much easier to attempt that.
There were some who shouldn't have attempted it, and there are some who got pretty close to pulling it off. But, you know.
I noticed a lot less Leias this year, and, you know, there's definitely a lot more Ramona and Scott Pilgrim.
I was about to mention that. I don't know how many Ramona Flowers I saw, like, this year.
There were a lot of Ramona Flowers and a lot of people who shouldn't even have even tried to be Ramona Flowers.
Oh, yeah.
We saw someone that was probably... that would probably be more suited to dress up as a Juggernaut than Ramona Flowers. Yeah. But, you know, hey, have fun.
Exactly. That's what you're there for.
Yeah. There are a lot of really, really cool booths this year, too. I don't think there were any that was as extravagant as some of the stuff we've seen in the last couple of years. Like, I think they're fairly scaled down compared to what we've seen before. But they still have some of the big ones. We mentioned the Walking Dead booth, which was awesome.
The Tron booth was
cool. The Tron booth was cool. Of course, the Marvel booth was cool. They had the Odin's Throne thing where they were, and then they were revealing the random item from whatever movie it was every now and then.
Right.
Which kind of pissed me off because I missed the Infinity Gauntlet, which is apparently there on Sunday.
Yeah, I was lured by free posters at one end of the Marvel booth, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden they started to do a countdown, and I didn't know where to look, so I thought I was looking up at the throne, mm-hmm. and they're gonna separate the doors again,
mm-hmm.
and reveal something new other than the destroyer armor.
There's a stripper. And,
yeah, I was hoping, and then. What it wound up going, they showed the shield, you know, Cap's shield,
mm-hmm.
but they did it in that fog, you know, glass booth, but it was on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't for the life of me see it because I was stupid. I was lured by free posters on the other end. And when I turned around, there was no way I could get, you know, everyone had their cameras up, and I was like, well, I guess I'll have to wait.
If you wait, people, it kind of clears up eventually.
Yeah. I just start elbowing people.
Sometimes that's all you need to do, man. You have to exert force and show them who's boss.
Yeah, it's a shame, but it's true, though. I mean, that's how I get most of my video. Just fight through it.
Yeah, it's the crowd. Some of the crowds are pretty inconsiderate, which is kind of expected because you're dealing with, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. But, you know, it's fairly manageable. Speaking of which, I kind of wanted to get into that, too. Like, how do you think, compared to last year, how do you think the crowds are managed? Because I know they've done their best to kind of keep as many people out of the convention center as possible by having all these events taking place outside the con. And in my honest opinion, I think they did a pretty good job running things because it didn't feel like it was an overwhelming crowd in any given time, except for maybe preview night.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty well managed this year. I think there was times in Hall H when it was empty and they were actually urging people in. I think the absence of Twilight was a huge, huge plus. I'm very glad that they released that movie before Comic-Con. And I think, you know, a good portion of that crowd was taken away. You didn't have people camping out for Hall H, you know. Well,
but there were people camping out. We saw them.
Well, not to the level of Twilight last year, anyway.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But people are... We're coming back from the Eisners, and people are camping out for the Warner Brothers panel, especially for Harry Potter, was what most of the people I was talking to online were saying.
Wow.
And they apparently had minimum presence in there, too, so they weren't too happy with what that they lined up that long for basically just Draco Malfoy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, it serves him right.
I mean, as much as it's, you know, I can understand the passion behind lining up for something that happens tomorrow, but come on.
I can't imagine doing it. Yeah.
I mean, I would have wanted to. I mean, I could have possibly done that for the Avengers thing, but I'm like, nah. I'll see it online eventually. That's what I always think.
Yeah, and it's already happening, right?
Yeah, see, what's funny is that they're slowly putting stuff out that they had put in Hall H or Ballroom 20 over the weekend. They're slowly making their way to the internet, and then that just makes us right about what we've been saying for the last few minutes about how you really don't have to worry about going to see it there first, because it's going to be online eventually. And
yeah,
you know, like the Thor footage is out there. There's some footage from some of the other stuff out there too.
But it is exciting to see that stuff with a big crowd, though. I mean,
oh yeah, I mean, yeah. And then seeing the cast come out and yeah. You know, and do their thing—it's really cool, and it's something that doesn't really happen often, you know, in the entertainment industry, because it's, I mean, aside from like the major film festivals where it probably costs even more to go to if you're lucky enough to be able to attend it, you know, it's such a rare thing, and it happens here every year. So with we talked about, you know, some of the good things about the con and how it was well run. What do you think are some of the problems that you've encountered this year, though? I mean, aside from crowds and the stabbing, were there any major problems, though, as far as registration or any of the other stuff?
I didn't have any problems, but you know, I mean, I do think that there's a lot of people who still, you know, don't like the way that Hall H is run. And, you know, there was actually an editorial by another writer on NewsRama about it yesterday, and it brought up some good points. Like, you know how, I mean, instituting, like, you know, like a ticketing system, I think, would make a lot of sense. I mean,
like, yeah, like that.
Yeah, some of the lines are just crazy, and you know, and then I think there's a lot of people who you know, who don't know when, how early they need to get there, you know, and end up disappointed, which, you know, I mean, it seems like it is having people line up kind of randomly at some point before it starts is like a very like old school type convention attitude when, you know, it hasn't necessarily grown with how big the convention has grown. Mm-hmm. They haven't really ever changed the way they do things since as long as I've been attending, at least. And yeah, it's gotten so much bigger. So
that is actually very, very true. It's I don't know. I mean, they got to that point where, I mean, a ticketing system may be a good idea. And I think it is a pretty damn good idea. But then, go ahead.
How I understand, at least what I've heard through at least my circles, is that the Hall H isn't given out based off of the size of crowd that they expect, which is really what it should be done as. They need to gauge how many people they actually think are going to come for these particular things, and then find the rooms accordingly that'll accommodate that. But really what I've heard is it's more based on the studio. So the bigger the studio, then the more priority that they have. That's why Disney and Warner Brothers always has Hall H no matter what. And some of the TV stuff, no matter how big of a following, like True Blood and Dexter, all they get is Ballroom 20. And so from what I heard, Ballroom 20 was worse this year than Hall H, because you know, the line slinked all the way back behind the convention center outside. And I think it was a True Blood. I forget what day that was. Maybe Friday. And Friday or Saturday. But they already kept the line for True Blood at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I don't think their panel was until 6 p.m. So they already told those people, if this is what you're planning on being here, you know, don't even try. Because all the people in front of you, they're there for the same thing. And they might not get in either. So I'm frustrated that they don't try to factor their space and try to find what accommodates what that potential crowd will be versus, hey, Warner Brothers has the most money, you know, we're going to buy out Hall H no matter what we have. You know, I mean, you have stuff like Drive Angry 3D, which didn't have anybody in it, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's the frustrating thing.
Yeah, I mean, because basically what, you know, they've done with it is that Hall H is for movies no matter what, and Ballroom 20 is for TV shows no matter what, ignoring the fact that there's some TV shows like True Blood or Smallville that are going to draw bigger crowds in a lot of the movies. So that seems to be kind of something that...
I can attest to that personally. Like, on Sunday, my wife actually came along to the convention for the first time in a long while, and she wanted to catch the Glee panel. So I went with her, and the line wound up going all the way to basically the Embarcadero at the back of the convention center.
Pretty much all the way to the ocean.
Yeah. I mean, people were practically swimming out there. So, yeah, it was crazy. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, even the booth lines, I mean, for autograph signings and all that, they were so disorganized. Like the security people who help run the booth for, like, say, Warner Brothers or whatever, I actually lined up for a Chuck signing on Saturday. I came there like fairly early and I asked them, you know, where is the line going to be? And they say, oh no, it's not set up yet. Be here about an hour before the signing starts. I'm like, okay, fine. I go there an hour before it starts, and apparently they already capped off the line. I'm like, what?
That's crap.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of people who are, there's a lot of bad communication between, you know, particularly with the security people, because they're trying to be, I guess they're trying to do their jobs, but they're being complete jerks about it. I remember Chris and I were at the Hasbro booth at one point. We were
we were
looking at some of the dioramas they assembled, you know, with all the figures and all that stuff. We were looking at them and taking pictures, and this security guy was telling us we can't take pictures. I'm like, what? Why not? Because apparently
we're almost getting into it with them, huh?
Yeah, they're trying to pick a fight with us, and we were like, dude, we're just taking pictures. And then they go to the guy running who actually works the Hasbro booth and ask him, you know, they told him, hey, they're taking pictures. They're not allowed to do that, right? I'm like, oh, they can pick as many pictures as they want, man. And like, oh.
Well, the guy kept on calling him the figures prototyping. Yeah, figures that were already out in stores. Yeah, you know, these are prototypes. You can't take photos here. But...
Yeah, there are some really stupid people working there. I wish Elite was run better by the organizers, because there's just so many issues and so many complaints about it too. I've heard other exhibitors complaining about how the security people are sometimes and how random they are with letting people in with their, you know, depending on their badges and all that. So if there's anything that needs to be improved upon, it's really the security people they deal with. Oh, and of course the hotel situation.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, the security people get really frustrated, like, really stressed out, too, like, when trying, like, to enforce, like upstairs and, like, the panel rooms, like, enforce, like, traffic in terms of, like, you know, people going one way down one aisle. And, like, they're just, I mean, you know, it's kind of a thankless job, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, I understand that, but sometimes...
But you can tell they just get really, like... I just saw at least one guy who looked like he was about to lose it, and he very well might have.
I understand that, but the thing is, you can make this job easy by being a bit more relaxed and just so that, you know, and just being nice to people. You know, some people are just, they're just acting a complete jerk because they can.
Yeah,
a lot of them are on power trips.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, aside from that, really, I've never had any problems with the show. And I was exhibiting this year, like I have for the last few years, and I find that the exhibit staff is probably the easiest to deal with, because I've dealt with smaller shows that are not as responsive as the exhibit staff for this show. So I'm very thankful that, you know, that they're run as well as they are. And aside from those minor setbacks we talked about, you know, I mean, I think the show's, you know, I think it should go on the way it's going. Although, you guys, I wanted to mention earlier, though, when you mentioned a ticketing system for the booths, for you know, Hall H or whatever, you realize, though, if everyone knows that they're supposed to get tickets at a certain time, you know there's going to be a gigantic, you know, murderous line that's going to come out out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that if they could plan out the layout, I think, of the convention floor a little bit better, I think certain things wouldn't get, like, drowned out. Like, you really have to, swim upstream just to get to Artist Alley now, because you have to go through the movie media in order to get to it. And it's like, oh, man, it's you just save it till the last day on Sunday to go to Artist Alley.
Well, the thing that I would always recommend people do is, if you want to go to Artist Alley from one end of the convention center to another, you just exit the hall and go to the last entrance in Hall G, yeah, which is probably the smartest thing to do, and it's much easier. And I always found it interesting that they would put the illustrators and the Artist Alley section in one end, and then all the other stuff, like the media stuff, in between them and then the publisher's area, which is kind of odd.
Yeah, that never made sense. I always wonder why they weren't, like, next to small press or anything like that.
I always thought that was kind of strange, but it could be that they want, I mean, because a lot of people, unfortunately, give up while they're going for the media area, because they get swallowed up by the gigantic booths and all the crazy displays, and at that point they just never make it past it, so it's kind of sad. But they, you know, Artist Alley, though, they've actually modified Artist Alley a bit this year. They put them closer to the entrance, which is kind of good. But I've heard people kind of complain about it, too, so who knows.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird placement for Artist Alley, I think, sort of. Yeah.
I know there are some... Have any of you guys ever been to the Long Beach Comic Con?
Yeah.
I like the fact that they put the Artist Alley right in front. It's like one entrance, and they're like right in the middle, right in front, which is pretty cool. And I think they should probably try kind of emulating what they're doing there, because, you know, you'd like to think that the artists and the creators of comics are, you know, like, one of the main draws of the show. But, you know.
Yeah, Long Beach, so like all the quote unquote Hollywood people, they're like in the back wall.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's breathable, but of course, you know, the scales are different between Long Beach and Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's a different scale altogether, but, you know, anyway, I mean, they've been doing this show for how many years now? Of course, they would think that they know what they're doing, but it'd be nice if they, you know, hook the artists up a bit and give them a better looking spot at least.
Yeah,
and why does it have to be called Artist Alley anyway? Artist Alley is such a, I don't know, the term. Oh well, so we'll kind of done with that particular bit of it. Let's talk about, like, let's talk about some personal stuff. Like, what was your favorite personal moment during the show? Like, you know, what any encounter or any anything you did that you absolutely enjoyed that you could never happen anywhere else?
We should start. I guess I'll.
Yeah, you go ahead.
All right. I had a few. Like, I don't know. For this year, you know, I'm a big Scott Pilgrim fan, so it was like pretty much. That was my universe during the whole con. I bought this Scott Pilgrim poster, like a limited edition thing. And my goal was trying to get at least Edgar Wright and, you know, Brian O'Malley to sign it. And I did, but I had to, you know, really fight for it. And in the process of doing that, I was able to get most of the cast as well, which was really cool. Another one, Pat, was like your panel, actually, your first panel. So,
oh, yeah.
For the Kickstarter thing, so I felt like a proud papa watching the thing, you know.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was kind of surreal. I was kind of shocked by the number of people that went there. Then I realized, oh yeah, there's a panel with Felicia Day coming up after this. Just probably waiting for that.
Hey, you know what? But the place was packed, so, you know, I mean, yeah, I don't know if they're waiting for you or not, but, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people actually participated, which is pretty cool, so I was like, okay, I guess it wasn't, you know, I need to stop self-deprecating for a minute and actually enjoy this.
Yeah, I wish I could have managed that one. I had a conflict, but I wish I could have. I'm sure I would have also felt pretty proud. So maybe not quite like a pop-up, but maybe like
quite a tear to my eye.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. A couple of other things that say, our fellow studio mates, Dave Wachter and J. Andrew Clark, you know, having them be nominated for the Eisners and being able to go to the awards ceremony was pretty cool.
The listeners were pretty cool, although it did kind of feel like it was taking forever at some points. But it was an interesting experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, especially when Thomas Jane is going up there, you know, making an ass out of himself.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was entertaining, but, you know.
You can always rely on Thomas Jane to, you know, give you, like, a highlight of the con.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. Just, you know, being all around, being around a lot of people that you normally don't see on a daily basis, and you only see them at, you know, conventions and such. So it was really cool to be able to hang out with them and all. So that was rad.
Yeah, I'd say for me, you know, I mean, I do my press thing, you know, about 3 out of the 4 days, but then a little bit before and a little bit afterwards, I wind up hanging with, you know, some of the friends that I've made, you know, through the years, who are comic creators, and some of them are editors, and you know, some of them are artists and writers, and even some sculptors. And it's just nice to kind of hang out with those guys in the evening time when the madness kind of settles down, and you kind of get real, you know, with people. In our worlds, these guys are kind of like celebrities, but in reality, you know, they're just like me and you, and you know, they're very down to earth and very approachable, and that's kind of the beauty of Comic-Con, and you know, getting friendly with the comic creators, is that you can kind of get to know them on kind of a personal level.
How about you, Albert?
Yeah, you know, all of my, you know, highlights of Comic-Con are pretty dumb. I mean, you know, it's a lot of my friends that I don't get to see very often because they live in different states, you know, usually go, so I get to see them and hang out. And, you know, I also like, because for, you know, majority of the year, I'm really focused on, like, more mainstream stuff because of, you know, the nature of what I cover and everything, and that's what, you know, a lot of people are interested in. And, you know, being able to check out with companies like Top Shelf or First Second or Fantagraphics and Drawing Quarterly have, and pick up stuff from them, and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'd say from, at least from the journalist side, I'd say some of my favorite parts, I think, this is kind of a real, like, nerdy kind of TV thing, but meeting Joe Kivanek for the event. He's been in like every TV show from The Wire to True Blood to, you know, that was kind of like a personal moment for me. And then I think one day, I think it was Friday, I saw Maggie Q, Grace Park, Moon Bloodgood, and you, I guess you can throw Daniel Day-Kim in it. So I hit like the Asian cycle, you know, like for a full day. And I was like, I was thrilled. I was like, man, it's crazy. It's just kind of a surreal kind of, you know, kind of, day to put in my journal. But it's kind of, you know, you can only get some of that at Comic-Con. And then at the same time, you're hanging with, you know, message board guys at nighttime who, you know, you spend every day of the night, you know, chatting with anonymously, and you get to see put a face to their screen name. So, yeah.
Adding to that, like there's some perks of being an exhibitor and being able to walk the floor when it's not, you know, crowded and all that. I think it was Friday, right, Pat? We were able to meet Guillermo del Toro, which was cool. He was just hanging around.
Nice.
We were able to talk with him, and excuse my language, but he was a cool ass motherfucker. You know, like,
oh yeah.
I mean, he was extremely nice, and he was generous of his time, like with his fans, you know. And
yeah,
but he would stand there and talk with us, and you know, want to take. Really cool.
He is a hell of a hugger, my friend.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, the dude loves to hug. Yeah, but he gave me a very nice man hug, and I've never met him before in my life. So
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, another cool thing about the convention, you know, speaking of message board people, for me is I'm really proud of our message board friend Nick Spencer and all the stuff that he's been able to accomplish in the past year. I think that's really cool.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get to his BC panel.
Yeah, I was there, yeah.
That was cool, man. That's very cool. See, I mean, we literally got to see this guy kind of rise up in the ranks from being, you know, just a message board poster, you know, as far as we know, and then next thing you know, he's doing an image book, and then, like, within a year or a year and a half, I think, he got to do DC stuff. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, his first comic came out from Image, like, July 2009, so it literally was like 1 year.
That's a hell of, yeah, that's a hell of a rise, man. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's just a really cool guy too. I mean, I know for whatever reason he seems to be polarizing with some people, but I really like him.
Yeah, he's you know, we hung up with him, and he was at the Drink Up, and he's been to a couple other things that a couple other cons that I've been to, and really nice guy. He likes to dress up like Jimmy Olsen though, which is probably why he got the Jimmy Olsen gig. He actually talked about that bit in the panel, which is awesome. All right. Of course, we kind of talked about that, all this fun stuff. Like, did you guys pick up anything good? Anything that you think was a must-have from the convention?
Just anything I can get my hands on, I guess. Anything that was a good deal, half-off trades, whatever.
Yeah, I was missing the $5 hardcover, $5 trade bins.
This year. Yeah, didn't do that this year, huh?
They went half off. Yeah. I think the economy was better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went as far as buying books, I scored a lot of stuff from Top Shelf. There's the new book they put out was B.B. Wolf and the Three LPs, which was kind of like a Southern slave kind of version of the Bad Wolf and the Three Little Pigs.
Whoa, okay.
And Rich Kozlowski is doing the art, who people will know from Three Geeks.
And The King.
And The King. Yeah. And, it was just a really fresh take on it, and it was a great book, and I think everything from Top Shelf was great. I finally picked up Essex County, which is too late, but I happened to really catch on Jeff's work through Sweet Tooth, and I really want to support support his work. So
he's great. I loved Essex County when first. The Nobody, which he put up for Vertigo last year, was also fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and then the best deal I think was probably the Archaea booth on Sunday, where if you bought I think two hardcovers, you got four hardcovers free, and they were blowing everything out, and they didn't want to come back.
Pretty crazy, yeah.
Yeah, if I had known about that, I would have gone there, because I know Chris is looking for the Killer Volume 2, and I need
to
get Stays Missing.
I actually was going to get Killer Volume 2 if they had Volume 1, but they didn't have any more Volume 1s left, so but they had Volume 2s.
Man.
You can't cover everything at the con, right?
Yeah, there's no way you can get everything.
You always set on something.
Yeah, I think I've signed up for a bunch of commissions in advance with some artists, like Cliff Chang. And unfortunately, Cliff wasn't able to get to mine. Yeah. But that's something I'll pick up at the New York show, which we
that's
talked
right.
about.
Yeah, we talked about your piece, so he said that he'll get to yours in New York.
Oh, really? Well, I hope it's in a good way.
No. Yeah, he just didn't have time. There's some people that he knew that he was going to see in New York, and it's just sometimes when you get to the con, you realize, oh man, this is. I can't get this stuff
that's
done.
That's perfectly understandable, though. I'm sure he had to do some. I believe he had panels to do, and he also had signings at the DC booth. Yeah, that's completely understandable if he couldn't get to something, I think as far as commissions go, the best piece I scored was a Thanos from Brad Walker, who wasn't really signing or anything, but we've been messaging through Facebook, and I loved his Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, and so I messaged with him, and I got a piece from him, which was awesome. And the one must-buy book for me was the Rocketeer Artist Edition from IDW, and I was able to get that.
Nice.
It's a gorgeous piece. Another book I scored was the Brushwood Passion book, the Dave Stevens art book that was put out by Underwood Books.
Okay.
And we were able to get that cover price, and that book is out of print.
Nice. Yeah, I there's a lot of things on my wish list, but I didn't get them, unfortunately. I really wanted one of those Walking Dead Drew Struzan posters.
I didn't see that.
And Frank Darabont was signing at the booth, and I was like, oh man, that was one I really wanted. There was also these mini Manny Pacquiao maquettes.
Oh yeah, saw those.
they were like 14 inches high, and it was like done in a cartoony style. It was kind of cute, but it was like, I didn't even dare ask how much they were.
It was 500.
I heard they were going for 500? About 500, yeah.
Holy cow. there was, let's see, one of, some of the other things is there was the Gentle Giant Sucker Punch statues. That made me really excited for the movie. I mean, I hadn't seen the footage up until then, but when I saw how the girls were going to look, I was like, oh, I've got to see this.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that movie. It looks really cool. It looks like some. It looks completely batshit insane.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
And I'd probably say that the one thing I wish I had gotten to probably on preview night was Scott Morse's table. Was doing these limited print runs of these. He recreated some scenes of classic movies, like I think like Rear Window and a couple other, you know, classics. Mm-hmm. And he packaged them in little film canisters, mm-hmm. and he was selling them for like $80 or $100. But like you get like six prints or something. But it was a real limited run, and those are probably the things that if I could clone myself like 15 times over, I probably could cover what I wanted to cover and get what I wanted to get.
Oh yeah. I didn't even know he had that going on. See, I know he was set up there. I didn't know he had, like, he always has some kind of special thing that he only puts up for the con. But I didn't know that's what he was doing this year. There's a couple things that I wanted to get that were kind of exclusives also from the con from some artists that I just couldn't find them, or they ran out. Like Humberto Ramos ran out of his new art book. There's a couple other people who I wish I was able to hit up early for a sketch, but oh well. There's always next year or other cons.
Yeah, I'd say that the two sketches that I was able to get, and yeah, like you said, you can only have so much time. But I did get a sketch by Rafael Albuquerque, who's the artist for American Vampire, and he did a really cool Batman piece. And then I got an Umbrella Academy sketch by Gabriel Ba.
Nice.
So. I wish I had time for more. You know, sometimes when you go to these meetups, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, I didn't realize this guy was going to be here. I wish I had my sketchbook. But there's so many things that you can get there, and I think that's kind of the fun of it. You can't walk out of there with any money left in your wallet. You weren't trying hard enough.
Actually, I went home with money, so the money left over.
There you go.
Dude, not me. I probably had like $20 in my name at the end of it.
Yeah, and in the end, it was kind of good that, you know, that I had money left over, because I ended up needing it for some other things later on. So thank God Terry Dodson got booked up, and then thank God that Cliff Chang wasn't able to get to mine. All right, everyone. Well, now that, okay, that kind of concludes everything as far as the con this year goes. Like, for next year, is there anything you guys are hoping for anything you'd like to do for next year's con that you think will probably, you know, that for, based off of what we know so far, is there anything that you were, you'd hope to do? Like, I hear there's going to be an Avengers panel, because they already did the reveal. That's something I wish I could get to next year.
Yeah, I'd like to be there for sure.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I would love to do that as well, but I don't know. After waiting 2.5 hours and for the line for Hall H and not being able to make it, I don't know.
Chris. And next summer is also the summer before the new Batman movie. So.
Oh. Yeah. But I don't think they've ever put out any Batman stuff in Hall H before, though.
You know what? They haven't. But
they did that for Wizard World Chicago a couple times.
Well, they had that Dark Knight thing go. I don't know. I don't think they had a panel, but they had, you know, the hunts. And
yeah, they had promotions in 2007 for Dark Knight.
Yeah, they had the alternate reality game thing.
And I feel like I think they did something at WonderCon. Actually, it might have been WonderCon, Batman Begins. Yeah. But yeah, they did like a screening at WonderCon like way before. Yeah, it was for Batman Begins. Yeah, so I have a feeling that. Yeah, just at this point, you know, with how big Batman's going to be and how big Comic-Con is, I mean, I have a feeling they'll probably do something next year. I don't know for sure, but yeah.
I would love it if we have some real news or some footage or something real develops out of the Powers TV show. I think that would be great. You know, I know that it's continually moving along at a snail's pace, but it is moving forward, and I would love to see something related to that come next year. I hope that I just hope that there's more excitement about the comics themselves, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I noticed that DC put out a barrage of announcements before the convention. I think they were kind of trying to put everything else, because they did very little announcements in their actual panels this year.
I think they really only had two. I think it was really only that the Grant Morrison Batman Inc. book, and that Chloe Sullivan's going to be in the DCU.
That's the only real announcement they had. I'm thinking maybe because they are assuming that the whole media thing is going to be taking over, which is kind of smart, but it kind of takes away from the event itself. But you know, whatever, it works for them.
I just think like this is a really exciting year to have some independent, you know, entities almost make the jump to the next medium. I mean, I think it's funny that we're only talking about, you know, Warren Ellis's, you know, maybe first feature film, you know, with Red. I mean, here's a guy who really, you know, his stuff is made for another medium, you know, and to think that it's taken this long to really get some of his stuff up there is kind of, it's almost tragic. You know, we got Scott Pilgrim that we're celebrating, and Walking Dead, which, you know, hopefully by then will be getting ready for its third season.
Yeah, hopefully it will be seeing footage of the Governor and Michonne in that panel next year.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of exciting things. You know, the TV stuff is kind of also taken, you know, kind of its own life there, too. And I think some of these TV shows that we're just starting to hear of, you never know what's going to be the next Lost or what's going to be the next 24. And, you know, maybe the event and Falling Skies wind up becoming something that's kind of something that's talked about.
Well, next year's also going to be the year before the new Spider-Man movie too, with Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. So that's,
oh yeah, that could happen next year. Yeah. You know, it should be a very interesting time. There's a lot of stuff in development right now, and there's, of course, I'm sure there's gonna be some big stuff coming from the publishers also. So, I'm looking forward to next year again. I mean, I'm still recovering from this year, but I'm actually ready for next year to hit, because I didn't feel like I've had enough of it yet.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of conventions before then too. So,
yeah, I got New York coming up in October, which is going to be interesting this year, since it's in a different time of year.
And I have to say something that's kind of interesting is kind of the outbreak of really well-done motion comics being done right now. I know we all kind of laughed at motion comics when they first came out, but I think that they've, you know, from both Marvel and DC and even some of the independent creators, I think they're really doing some really cool stuff. And I think you know, they're even roping it into some of these, like, web TV kind of formats, too. Yeah. So,
I think the only issue I really have with some motion comic stuff lately is the fact that they would, you know, sell it to you first and then they give it away for free later, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. I will say something, though, that we, motion comic stuff, you know, I've been looking at a lot of them lately because we were in talks with developing one of my creations anyway into motion comics adaptation. So we'll get to that a bit later on, though. So it should be cool. Cool. I'm being a lot nicer to those people now. Oh, what, you want to do ours? Like, yeah, well, sure, why not?
Nice.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks for coming on, and let's kind of do some plugs here. Ernie, where can we find you on the internet?
Currently, you can find some of my work at buzzfocus.com. I'm hoping to do more TV work with them, and maybe some comic related features. And that's as far as like the pop culture stuff. I also do a little bit of work at popcultureshock.com, but starting to wean off on that site. So for right now, Buzz Focus.
And are you, do you have a personal website or a Twitter account?
Yeah. I mean, Twitter is at Ernie Estrella. That's just my name. And I have a, I'm there on Facebook, and I'm also real big into fantasy football. So I do, I write for a few sites there as well, and you can follow all that stuff on my Twitter.
Excellent. And Albert?
Yeah, newsarama.com, and I'm on Twitter, AlbertXII.
All right. And Chris, where can we find you?
All over the place. You can just find me on my website there at chrismays.com for, like, design work or sequential art. Or also at dollarstudios.com.
Of course, where you can find all of us. And that's for me, of course. I'm at my usual spots, facebook.com/patloika, or you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/patloika. My blog is at patloika.com. If you want to check out some photos from Comic-Con, I have a few, quite a bit of them online. You go to flickr.com/photos/patloika, and you can see some photos for, and maybe and some short videos from the weekend. And once again, thank you guys for coming. Thank you guys for listening also. And we'll be back next week where we'll go back to our regular, you know, comics and movie, whatever discussion I feel like talking about. So take it easy.
Thank you.
They're gonna eat me alive. like a hammer.